This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
7-3, The Fan.
Hey, hi, and how are you? And welcome into hour number two of Gwen and Chris. It is a Thursday get-together here on 97.3 The Fan. Chris, hello. Tony Gwynn Jr. in Atlanta with the Padres. Matt Scraby alongside here in the Odyssey Palace Studios. We also got Nick DiNucci in here working some ones and twos. Appreciate that, Nick. Coming up at 5 o'clock today, you'll be able to hear a commercial-free hour of nothing but Padres talk. It is our weekly Padres roundtable with Ben and Woods, Annie and Elston, and yours truly will be on from 5 to 6. So you'll get all your Padres information there. We'll continue to give you some Padre information here. But why waste your time? We know that everybody's feeling terrific. Woke up this morning, Tony, looked at the newspaper, and if the playoffs started today, the Padres would be in them. So I don't know what everybody is, you know, everybody should be ecstatic.
The playoffs don't start today, though. So
That's the problem. That's the problem.
That's kind of the issue.
I think you're right. Here's another problem, and this is something I was just honestly, while Buster only was chatting with us, it dawned on me that the Padres seemingly have struggled against left-handed pitchers. Austin Gomber shut them down yesterday. Now, Imanaga is a different story, but he beat them a week or so ago. So let me just check this for fun. And I honestly came up with, this is pretty startling. I don't know how much of this you know, Tony, but as of right now, the Padres are hitting .271 against right-handed pitching. That is first in baseball, the best. Against left-handed pitching, they're hitting .197, and that is 29th best in baseball.
Yeah.
So that is a huge discrepancy.
Wait. Doesn't that mean that most of their batters are right-handed?
Well, yes. It means that the big right-handed punch guys, Manny, Fernando, yeah, Xander, have not done what you would like them to do. I mean, that's what that means to me. But, you know, you're facing Max Fried tomorrow night. You're going to be facing Chris Sale on Monday night. These are two really good left-handers, regardless of what your stats say. But it seems to me that, you know, this might be something that Mike Schilt and his people and everybody sitting around are trying to figure out. How can we start getting something out of our lineup against lefties, Tony?
I don't know that there's an answer to that because, A, it's a small sample size.
That's
right?
True.
They haven't faced a lot of lefties this year.
But that's true.
Jesse has brought this up. The last two lefties we faced, it's something to definitely pay attention to because, as Scraby pointed out, their offense is predominantly right-handed. This should be a good thing facing left-handed pitching.
Yeah.
And you know, typically the numbers tell you if righties are facing lefties, the numbers are up. I don't know that there's an explanation for what we're seeing right now. I mean, up and down the list, our righties are struggling against lefties, with the exception of Jerickson, I believe, who usually that's his weakest side is on his right
side.
Yes,
not this year.
Not this year, though.
No.
And so I don't have a good explanation for why that is.
Yeah.
Why the right-handers aren't hitting the left-handers. You put Imanaga aside, I'm pretty sure all the lefties we face haven't been of his caliber. I mean, Lodolo pitched that well that day from Cincinnati.
Yeah.
But outside of that, I can't say that What's my man for the Dodgers?
Paxton.
Yeah, you know,
he's not that good, but he looked pretty good.
Right. So, I mean, I don't have an answer
for
that.
I'm not I don't expect anyone to have one, but I think it's something that the team has to keep an eye on, and
I'm sure
they are.
For sure.
I can't believe I'm the only one who knows this statistic. I'm pretty sure they're aware of it.
I mean, imagine where they would be as an offense if they were hitting lefties average-wise, just like decent.
Yeah, they're destroying lefties by comparison, you know, to what they're doing. I mean, righties, but they're destroying righties by comparison to what they're doing against lefties. And that's something that's going to have to change and improve, certainly, as the season goes on. Now, I don't like to pick on anybody, and we're going to get to our daily gambit, but I'm carrying over from the first hour of a lot of Padre talk. And I the last guy I ever want to even point out, in a struggling type of way, is my guy Jake, because I think the entire world about Jake. But Jake bats third, and he bats third against righties, and he bats third against lefties. Here's a very small sample size, but this year against righties, he's hitting .301, and he's got 17 extra base hits and 27 RBIs. Against lefties, left on left, Jake's hitting .154, has one double, and no RBIs. Now, again, small sample size, and I went to look at his career. Career, he's about the same, believe it or not. .257 against righties, .236 against lefties, so it's pretty close. But what's happening this year is a large gap. So is that something that, at least for the time being, you look at? And maybe at least drop Jake down in the order against lefties until, you know, he starts hitting them again.
I don't know. I mean, you don't have a lot of lefties. Remember, part of the reason he's there is to break up Toddy and Manny so
right.
that they're not right on right. So if you're going to move him down, you're taking that
component out of it.
So I don't know. I think... For Jake, I mean, how many bats does he have against lefty? They can't have
not many. 39. So I prefaced it by saying it's a small.
I'm just saying that I don't know that you want to take away that component just yet, based on that many at bats. But it's certainly something, you know, you get a few little more bigger sample size and it's the same or not much improved.
Yeah.
You got to look at it.
Yeah. All right. I mean, we're all trying to figure it out as if, you know, the sky has fallen once again, and the sky has not fallen once again.
I'm not actually being calm these days. What's going on?
Yeah, you were very calm yesterday.
I did give a fake eulogy to start the screen.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard his show.
I'm so glad I did.
Can you play the clip of how you opened the show?
Oh, you want me to?
The music.
Yeah, let's. You know what?
I just
want
to hear the music
here.
For how you opened the show yesterday.
Okay, I have to tell
go
Nick.
Go over there and square Nick away. But here, he came on after our hour, and we had an hour together, Tony, and you know we were upset about losing 8-0 and breaking down and taking phone calls, and then Scraby takes over the show, and okay, you got the here's the music that
you
opened
with. Do you want me to
with.
Do it live on the air again?
Well, you can recreate it a little bit, but let us hear
some.
No, I don't
want to recreate it.
Let us hear some of this music that you came in with yesterday.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to mourn the loss of the Padres season.
Yeah.
Basically, that's what I said. And then at the end, I'm joking.
That's him.
It's
yesterday.
Not over. I was trying to break the ice because it's so depressing.
You were trying to break the mood a little bit. All right.
Oh, see, Junior says Scrabinators needed that. That's right. And we also did a therapy session on the air last night.
Therapy's good. Everybody should have some therapy.
I did one negative Padre thought, and I had to replace it with one positive Padre thought.
I love that exercise right there.
That is
a therapy exercise right there.
And that is my most hated therapy exercise. When my therapist told me that 10 years ago, I was like, that's stupid. I'm not doing that.
That's and awesome.
I do it every day.
That was a part of your show.
Explain to me how this works. This is a therapeutic move. I've not heard this, and I've been through plenty of therapy. So tell me again.
Wow. Okay.
How this works?
You every time you have a negative. Okay.
Every
so this
time you
up,
have a negative thought,
you have to replace it by one positive thought. Because your brain
just
needs
one
to
positive.
That would wear me out, man.
The brain needs to recognize that there are positive thoughts, and it's going to take. Here's an example. So last night I said, the Padres can't score with runners on base. Negative thought. Positive thought, the Padres get a lot of runners on base.
I see.
Starting pitching was not great in this series against the Rockies.
What happens when your mind starts to say, man, F those opportunities on base. We ain't scored them. How do you replace that one?
They have scored this season. That's a positive thought. Okay. That's a positive.
They have scored this season. Therefore, they will at some point score again.
Someone said I need to grow up. I think the person whose name is San Diego Bleep on the chat needs to grow up.
Wait, you need to grow up about what?
I guess the whole eulogy thing.
Oh, I think the eulogy was kind of a tongue-in-cheek, not a bad idea.
So I will talk about, he said, him mourning how we are out of the postseason in May. Number one, I never said you're out of the postseason. I just said the season was over. Number two, it's a joke!
Said it was a joke.
Jeez, people.
He meant it
you
as
should
a,
see my DMs.
All right, you just meant it
now
as
I'm all angry.
As a lighthearted thing. I just want to go back to the therapy thing, because I think, I mean, if that's what you've been, you know, told to do by psychologists throughout your career, you know, therapy career.
Therapist, yes.
Yeah, therapist. That would be maddeningly...
It's a lot of work.
Hard work, right?
It's work,
yeah.
For sure.
Because we think of negative thoughts... Most of us, all the time. So, I mean, to have to come quickly right in with a positive thought, I'd get worn out.
Why do you think that I was able to stop drinking? I had to buy into it. I had to tell myself positive things. And then it got so bad that my negative thoughts were so negative that I had to replace it with three positive thoughts.
that's some serious work right there.
Ooh, my goodness, Greg. Okay. All right, we kind of ran through most of that segment, so we'll get the Daily Gambit in the next one. We can update you on a couple of things. The PGA Golf Championship is going on today. I don't know if everybody heard this, but the Aztec for Life, Xander Schauffele, set a record today, tied a record, with a 62 in the first round. It's only the fourth 62 in the history of major professional golf. Schauffele's had two of those four. And he has a three-shot lead right now over Tony Finau. Rory McIlroy is four off the lead. Brooks Koepka is five back. Scottie Scheffler's still on the course. He's at minus three, six off the pace. But great start for the old Aztec Xander Schauffele in the PGA Championships today. And we've got NBA, Stanley Cup. We'll touch on that in the Daily Gambit. But first, let's check a little traffic.
We don't have traffic. If it's we'll there. Check it
later. If it's there. Is it me? It is me, huh?
I thought you just took us out.
I was moving and grooving there a little bit.
Me
I wasn't
too.
Paying attention to who was supposed to come on. My bad.
That was pretty good stuff there. Was that a Nick DiNucci thing, or was
Who put that? Was
that
Nick
DiNucci using Scraby's music?
Oh, I put some new music in.
I like that.
Pretty good.
I was told to
little
keep
jazzy right there.
Keep the funk is what I was told.
Oh, is that what it's called? Keep the funk.
No,
just out of curiosity. Who told you that?
A listener. I think it was actually the beef.
Are you just reacting to one listener nowadays?
Wait, one listener told you what?
Keep the funk.
Yeah, they wanted to. Yes.
I like
Chris,
the funk.
To
keep
answer
the funk.
A question,
so
yes.
Listener said, we need a little more funk in the music, and you decided okay.
Yeah, because it makes them feel
You're
special.
Giving the listeners a lot of power.
Hey, shout out to that listener. He knew what he was talking about. I'm digging this right now.
Man.
Anyway, we got some sports to talk about. Did we ever do the Daily Gambit last segment?
We
didn't do it.
No. We need to do it now.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and get into it before we forget again.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. Now, one person on the chat has requested their own music. So this is what
see,
I
look what you, what look what you did.
Well,
you
opened that
look
up.
What you did.
This is what Chris did.
What do you mean what I did?
He was like, you listened to one listener?
Well, you said you answered all the questions. You could have pled the fifth on anything right there, buddy.
I don't have that.
From now on, we're going to have listener's choice as to what song we play coming in.
Just send it to Scraby. He'll take care of you.
No.
That's right. You want to hear some songs, music, whatever it is, just tell at Matt Scraby.
Oh, now we get a country. The one I will not play, country.
Uh-oh. Now you're going to piss a bunch of people off now.
We got a lot of country music fans out there.
And I have a beer open.
All right, now you're being,
now I'm gonna
being
get
disrespectful to the country.
Disrespectful to country music everywhere.
That is disrespectful.
Do you have any idea
agree.
How many country music fans
yes,
there
do.
Are in San
I
Diego?
Do.
There's a lot.
You just angered them all.
That's why I'm backtracking,
well done.
Chris.
Don't backtrack. You can't do that. I'm not letting you.
I was just joking, everyone. That's my new thing.
That's
my new.
That's going to be your new thing now.
Brandon says, I'm going back to KSON. Sister station. All right, here we go. Daily Gambit. We made some bets on Tuesday night, so it included Caitlin Clark's debut in the WNBA. The Connecticut Sun, is it?
Yes.
6-point favorites over the Fever. Chris chose Fever. I chose Connecticut, and the Suns did win 92-71.
Right.
Caitlin Clark had 20 points, 10 turnovers.
Yes, but her over-under was 20.5.
So we both lost that one because
she
both
missed
went
a couple
over.
Of shots in the final minute that didn't mean anything. Except to everybody who bet on Caitlin Clark to go over 20.5 points.
You know what? I got to say, I watched a lot of that game, and she didn't look like she was overmatched or anything, but it looked like she's going to be pushed around a little bit this year.
I just want to go back to the conversation I shared with you guys on about my on my Instagram, on a conversation I had with a parent that felt some type of way about Diana Taurasi not kind of being
welcoming
embracing.
Her, yeah.
Yeah. Right. I mean, this was kind of the point that she was making. And it wasn't just Caitlin Clark, by the way. Angel Reese also had a bit of a struggle
yep.
in her first game.
Yep.
These are like grown women, like the best of the best. They're not just going to slide in, and it's not going to be just like college basketball all over again. They're going to have to like build up to that. Now, the fact that Caitlin Clark's put 20 up in her first game kind of lets you know where she's starting at. But it ain't gonna just be. They ain't gonna just roll into the W to the what they call it, the W now.
Is
they ain't gonna just roll into the W and just have their way. It's gonna you're gonna have to work for that.
No, I mean, the first quarter, she didn't even look like she belonged on the floor. I must tell you.
Yeah.
And then I'll give her some credit for kind of you know
second half she bounced back,
getting into it. But yeah, all Diana Taurasi was saying, and I really don't blame her in a sense that people were just assuming Caitlin Clark would go in and dominate the WNBA and. Diana Taurasi was trying to say, no, you know what? We're pretty good.
Yeah.
We're actually
that's
pretty
all she
good.
Was saying. Yeah.
And they're proving that they're pretty good because, yeah, Caitlin Clark's not just going to walk in there and dominate the WNBA.
No, they were extra physical, too. So,
well,
and she's also kind of sort of got a target on her back, I would have to say.
Of course she does. In the same way that you can put whatever first-round pick in the NBA has when he walks
totally.
On there, he got a marker on his back.
Don't forget that Michael Jordan in his very first All-Star game was frozen out of getting the basketball by the likes of Isaiah Thomas and others.
Oh, that didn't cause a lifelong feud or anything.
Leading to a lifelong feud. You're absolutely right. Jordan still doesn't like Isaiah Thomas.
Michael Jordan might have the longest memory
in
history.
He'll never forget that.
He kept that man off the dream team because of that.
That's right.
That's one thing.
That's pretty crazy, I gotta say. All right, we'll talk about that a little bit later. But the next bet we made, Knicks -1.5 over the Pacers Tuesday night. Both of us chose the Knicks. Both of us correct, 121-91. Denver Nuggets playing Minnesota, and Denver was favored by 4. We both chose Denver. We were both correct. 112-97.
Our guy Rudy Gobert, another no-show, Tony. And maybe a little more of a show than Game 4, but not much.
It's so bad that my man Shaq, who has made his comments about Rudy, was actually trying to give him some defensive advice. Like,
yeah.
he basically said, listen, I've gone through this with Akeem Olajuwon. I kept giving him the option to go left or right. You got to force him one way. Either way, this notion, oh my Lord, this notion that we should just all, like, just be, you know, it's more because Joker is that great. I think it's just a bunch of malarkey. I really do. Like, if you are a four-time, this isn't like a one-time defensive player. This is a four-time defensive player of the year. I'm just going to quote Stephen A. Smith because I heard him say it this morning, and I just fell out of my bed laughing. Is it too much to ask that he doesn't score 40? Like, can he, like, score, I don't know, 28 maybe?
40 with a triple-double.
Does it have to be 40 with a triple-double against the four-time defensive player of the year?
It's been bad, and I feel bad for Anthony Edwards because he's about to go down with the ship.
You should almost be disqualified from ever winning another one if a dude is just...
No kidding, Tony. Thank you. I hope the voters remember this, you know, when they start thinking about trying to give him a fifth one next year.
All right.
Move on.
Yes. Sorry.
No, it's okay. I mean, Rudy Gobert taking more of a beating than the Bucks did for firing their coach in the middle of the season. Anyway, Brunson...
Yeah, no one cares about that.
I know. It's over. It's been over. So then we had a bet on who would score more in their respective games, Jalen Brunson or Anthony Edwards. Chris said Brunson. I said Ant-Man. And Ant-Man had 18, so it's going to be tough sledding. But Brunson had 44, so easy win for him.
Brunson's
right there.
Had 5 40-point games this postseason, which is more than like any other player in Knicks history except for Bernard King.
I think LeBron and Michael are like the last two guys to do it.
It's unbelievable what he's doing.
I really can't imagine playing basketball be able to score that many points.
I can. When every time they show that video of him as a little kid and his dad, they're working. Mind you, his dad is working for a Division I college basketball team. And he's got his son out on like the outdoor courts of some random spot. And you could just see it in Brunson's face. Like, why in the world are we here and not in the gym doing this? And he's out here making them. Every time I see this guy go off, I think about that video of him when he was like 13 and his dad is making him hit jumpers and then run sprint down the court. Like, I just think of all that work, and it seems like it's fruitful for him right now.
It is. The thing that's impressive about Brunson is, I mean, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, athletically, taller, quicker, faster, stronger. Jalen Brunson's a little guy. And he's still making this happen. You know, he's not more athletic than the guys he's playing against. You know, and he's still doing this. So good for him.
Final bet, Padres and the Rockies over under 7. And Chris said under, I said over. And unfortunately, I was correct. 6-3, 9 runs.
9 in that game. We both went 4-2, so we're 7-5 for the week.
All right. Join the biggest moments in sports with Prize Picks. Pick your players, pick your stats, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details.
All right, here's what we got for tonight, Tony. Do you believe in Rudy Gobert and the T-Wolves? They are 2-point favorites over Denver in Game 6. Minnesota's got to win to stay alive. Denver can close it out. I'll let you go first, Tony, in your honor tonight.
The answer to your question is no, I don't believe in Rudy. At this point, believing in him would be, I would be declaring myself insane.
Right.
So I will still take the 2 points.
No, you're going to take Minnesota -2?
I'm going to take Minnesota -2 because they have shown that even when Gobert doesn't stop him, they can find a way to win a game.
Well, they'd be better if he didn't play like he did in game 2. I have to take Minnesota just because I fell completely head over heels for them after the first 2 games of the series, and they might now go out in 4 straight, but I got to believe they're going to find one fit into a game 7, although I don't feel great about it. Scraby?
I'll go against you guys. I'll
take Denver for the clinch.
The Nuggies.
The Nuggies for the clinch. Who scores more points tonight? Ant-Man or Jokic? Here's the problem for Anthony Edwards in this particular bet. he's not being guarded by Rudy Gobert.
He's being guarded by three people, actually.
Right, guys. So. You know what? Denver is doing that, too.
Yeah.
They're double and triple teaming. You asked how he scored 18 points the other night.
They are forcing the ball out of his hand. Yep, yep.
You know? So Denver's not going to change their strategy. Gobert is not going to get any better. I got to go Jokic here. Scraby, how about you?
I got to go Jokic, too.
Oh, wow.
He's really turned the corner.
Turned the corner.
He's turned the corner.
Yes, three-time MVP. Yeah, he's finally starting to figure it out.
He's finally living up to the hype.
He's on his way now, boys. Yeah.
Tony, what do you think? Can the Ant-Man rebound?
It's Jokic. As much as I want it to be Ant-Man, it ain't going to be him.
All right, one hockey game tonight, Carolina and the Rangers. The Rangers go for the clinch. They led 3-0 in the series, but now it's 3-2. Carolina can send it to a Game 7 with a victory at home tonight. Carolina's favored by 1.5. Scrape?
Oh, man.
Do the Hurricanes force it to 7, or do the Rangers finally close them out?
For as good as I was at Hockey Bets a little bit ago, I've been slumping since.
Well,
but I'm going to go with the Hurricanes.
The Canes to take it to 7.
Yeah.
Tony, I know you're becoming a hockey guy hanging around Orsillo and Jesse. So.
I'm saying the Rangers close this out.
Rangers on the closeout. I'm just going to say the Rangers because I think it'll be a one-goal game like almost every game in this series has been. And I'll take the 1.5 goals. Final one today. We're only doing 4 bets. Tyler Glass now, Dodgers against the Reds tonight. 8.5 strikeouts over under.
This is Dodger loving, Chris.
Who are they playing?
They're playing the Reds. Glass now has struck out more than 8 in each of his last 4 starts, including 10, I believe it was, last week against the Friars. Over or under, Tony? 8.5 for Glass now tonight.
Book it over.
Book it, says Tony Gwynn Jr., says Chris. I'm going to go under just because he's due after 4 straight games to have one game that's not as much strikeouts. Scraby, that was really good grammar,
not
I might
as
add.
Much strikeout.
Yeah.
I understood it. The poorer your grammar is, the more I understand
it. I know. Listen, I was just saying that for you to understand it. Scraby, what do you like here?
I'm going to go over.
Over, he says. Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll see how that all turns out tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
When we come back, Tony will take us to break.
I sure will. Yeah. When we come back, shall we talk about Ron Washington?
Oh, yeah, we have a couple things we need to talk about.
Shall we talk about Ron Wash? Let's do it when we return. And finally, the NFL has stopped piecemealing this whole thing together. It's so annoying. More Gwynn and Chris on the other
side. Got my schedule.
Oh, of course you do.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld at Odyssey Podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, I know that yesterday was a long day for a lot of you Padre fans out there. No fun. Losing 8-0, getting swept by the Rockies, etc. But to people like me, yesterday was almost as fun as Christmas morning. That's because the NFL schedule was finally announced. And I love when the schedule is
announced.
You can
only have one Christmas morning, and you have two sports Christmas mornings now that I'm thinking about it.
What's my other one?
March Madness
brackets. Yes, when the bracket comes out.
Yes.
That's another good one.
So which is your favorite Christmas morning?
The bracket.
Really?
Yeah. The bracket.
Still.
The bracket beats out the NFL schedule. We'll get to that in a minute. But before that, Crisello here, Tony Gwynn Jr. in Atlanta with the Padres. Ron Washington, manager of the Angels, coming under a little fire. But certainly defending himself with fire after he was criticizing his own player. Luis Guillorme was unable to get down a squeeze bunt in a 7-6 loss to the Cardinals on Tuesday night. After the game, Ron Washington said simply he did not do the job. It wasn't anything I did wrong.
Lefty on lefty. I didn't sink a ball left-hander. I didn't want him to hit into a double play. He can handle the bat. He didn't do the job. It wasn't anything I did wrong. He didn't do the job.
Some good at-bats.
I would have rather went to the ninth inning with a 6-6 lead than to went to the ninth inning the way we did. It didn't work out.
What did you think of some of the at-bats tonight from Seanwell and Harris? Good ones against?
No, very good ones. We fell behind 5-0. We fought back.
So we already heard the juicy part.
Yeah, he also went on to say he, as in the pitcher Romero, was throwing the ball in the strike zone. Went on to say, why are you making excuses? He was throwing the ball in the strike zone. Guillorme did not get the bunt down, period. That's a little different than the tack that Ron Washington took, a little different than the tack that Mike Schilt took after his team lost yesterday, where he was defending his players. Tony and I have talked at length about that. But, Tony, your thoughts on Ron Washington and his comments?
I'm sorry. My seat is all kinds of jacked up.
I'm like, sorry about that.
I'm tangled up with this long
You're tangled
cord.
Up with the cord and everything.
So, I did
I'm
see
sorry.
Him
I was like, I had to get up out of the chair.
Cord. Well, I've been, I wrestle with my earbud cord coming back from every break. So I get it.
To answer your question, How do I feel about it?
Yeah.
Listen, I think everybody's different. I don't mind that. I grew up in a family that
That's right.
talked that way. I grew up around coaches that spoke that way. And so for me, where is the lie? Or where is the dishonesty in his response?
I don't feel like there's any dishonesty in his response. I feel like
yes, but people are feeling sorry for Luis
Okay, Guillorme. What is exactly wrong with his response?
I would say it's not every day you see a manager say it's not my fault the guy didn't make the play.
No, like, but that's not that, I, that. That's not
that's what
not,
he said though.
No, but that the question that, that's what he said after there were more questions of what the original question was. A manager in any sport, head coach calls a play. Let's say offensive coordinator sends in a run. They pass it. It gets picked off. They ask him after the game, why did you call that play? And he says, I actually didn't. I called a run. Quarterback decided to throw to call a pass. Well, whose fault is that at this point?
Well, that's the quarterback's fault because he didn't do what he did.
He didn't do his job. He didn't do what he was asked to do.
I don't know that an NFL coach, I feel like an NFL coach would eat that and be like, yeah, miscommunication, that's on me.
I beg to differ.
Well, some NFL coaches.
There's some video out there. I'm sure somebody can pull it up of a coach saying he called one play and a different play was called.
I definitely don't find fault in what he said. I feel like this is going to get his team's attention.
So let me ask you a question. You don't, it sounds like, well, I don't know that you care necessarily personally, Scraby, but okay. It sounds like you disagree with the tact that he took there in terms of saying, it ain't on me, it's on my players. Now, the flip side of that is Mike Schilt. Who, I don't know, do you have a problem with his tact? There is something that happens with managers where in the same season, Ron Washington, who just said, hey, he didn't get the job done, point blank period. There will be another point in this season where he protects a guy, where he says, you know what, or whatever the case may be, he says he takes the blame for it, even though he could do the same thing. It isn't a one-way type of job. Like, you have to be able to be, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for? You have to be able to adjust and make different decisions at different times. In this case, getting a butt down, I'm sorry, this is the same thing for, you know, we can equate it to the Padres bullpen, right? When you're asked to come in to protect a 2-1 lead and you cut the inning ends and it's 2-2 or it's 3-2, the cold hard truth is you didn't do your job.
It's true.
Is part of this potentially, for lack of a better term, the wussification of America at work here on the baseball field?
I do believe this.
Wussification.
I do too. Yeah. Because Dick Williams.
Oh my gosh, I didn't know where you were going.
Earl Weaver, Sparky Anderson, Tommy Lasorda. Yeah, I could go on and on.
Tony La Russa. I was about to say, you don't even need to go back that far.
That's what I mean. They would have come out and said, hey, we called the play. We didn't do it right. The guy didn't get it done. But now, if we don't protect our players, you know, their feelings are going to get hurt.
I also think the wussification, as you said, I think that carries over in other parts, right? I don't know that in the 80s or 90s, like, whoever said reporter, after a manager says, I gave this, he didn't get the job done. There wouldn't have been a follow-up for the manager to say, it ain't on me, it's on him. Like, it would have just been understood. Okay, you said you wanted this to happen. It didn't happen. Boom, I'm writing the story. Now, there is a need for an expansion of the whatever said idea was.
Right. Did you say that you didn't think he'd get the job done? Don't you think that's going to hurt his feelings,
Ron? Are you sure he's not going to cry when he hears about this?
Right. That's...
I also think a manager, A, knows his team and knows what his team can take and what they can't take. There's another aspect of this whole thing that Chris is talking about with those managers back in the day. There is so much social media and so much pressure from everywhere now. I think that's a little bit different.
And I think that's part of the reason why you see managers now take the step to defend the player.
Yes.
Because there is so much more scrutiny
than
there was. However, this is also, we also have to be mindful that this is coming from an organization that has lost its way, seemingly. And Ron Washington, in a lot of ways, is trying to come here and do something completely different than everybody else has done before him. And in his mind, this is like kind of cleaning out all of the dust and crap that's been in there and trying to start from the basics again. And so, listen, this is whether you agree with should he have done it or shouldn't he have done it is irrelevant. You're asked to do a job. In this case, it's get a butt down. His reasons he gave you. Sinker baller. I didn't want to hit into a double play. Padre fans certainly understand not wanting to hit into a double play. Right?
Tony. It's all Mike Schilt's fault that Machado didn't bunt in the bottom of the ninth there.
Right.
Come on.
But in this case, he doesn't have a Manny Machado. He has got a dude who can handle the bat. They just traded for my man Guillermo from the Mets. The Mets.
Braves, I believe.
Braves. They just traded for him.
Yeah.
Probably for these type of reasons. And you get him in there. And listen, you don't need to tell Guillermo that he didn't get the job done. I know he knows that he didn't get the job
done. Yes, I would hope that that's what his answer would be. if they asked him after the game.
100%. If you got him in his locker, I promise you that's what he would have said.
Yeah.
And so this idea that this should be like earth-shattering news that Ron Washington in a press conference and said, you know, we put on a bunny, didn't get the job done. It's mind-blowing to me a little bit. But, you know, it's kind of where we are.
I know that there are a lot of Padres fans that would have loved to see Mike Schilt call out a player or two. I don't necessarily think that's the best thing for the team right at this moment. But I don't know if I may have been okay with it, too, depending on what was said and all that stuff.
Well, you can't have it both ways, depending on what was... I would have been okay with it, too, depending on what was said. It's like kind of the opposite.
Yeah, I don't think that this... I don't think that Mike Schilt is the guy who's going to do this 46 games in.
You got to go back to what Chris... Or it might have been you, Scraby. These managers know their teams and their personalities on their teams. They know what buttons to push, what buttons not to push. They know who they can probably go public with, who they can't go public with. That's part of his job as a manager, is to understand some of those dynamics that, you know, we on the outside looking in don't get to see on an everyday basis.
Not to mention...
I can hear it now. Well, maybe we need to get some players that can handle it. Well, you know, I don't know if that's the answer or... You know,
you're going to have trouble finding 25 of those guys in this wussification age. Sorry to say.
I seem to remember a lot of people thinking Bo Mel didn't do enough. And
I definitely remember that. So, listen, everybody's going to do it differently. Everybody is going to attempt to do things the way they see fit. In this case, in Ron Washington's case, I don't have a problem with it. It's especially because it was like late inning. It was like... This is late inning.
It was ball
eighth
game.
Inning. So we need to get this guy. I don't want you to hit into the double play. We got to get this squeezed down. We got to get it down. It's no different than the decision that Mike Schilt made to send Cronenworth back out there, give the run back, and a big spot in the game. And it worked for him. Manny did the job.
You've sold me.
I'm standing
with Ron Washington now.
I'm just saying this shouldn't be like a big deal. I know he might be catching some heat from it. Mind you, he's probably not catching heat from anybody in that clubhouse. It's probably all
They're
coming
scared
from
of him.
Outside the clubhouse. They should be.
They should be.
Well, I think that's one last part of this. You know, I brought up Dick Williams. I brought up Earl Weaver. I brought up Sparky, Lasorda, all those guys. Correct me if I'm wrong, Tony, but those guys had a lot more built-in power over their players than managers do now. Whether that's right or wrong, I don't know. But in the day and age where players make so much more money than managers, I think some of the inherent power in being a manager has been stripped away.
I can't deny that at all. There are so many more dynamics in play that Dick and Tommy and, you know, some of those older guys didn't have to deal with that. It's kind of unfair to compare it to those guys. True. I just also think that we looked at coaches differently, completely at that time. I mean, it didn't matter who you are. Barry Bonds respected the hell out of Jim Leland. Like, you saw it when they got nose to nose to each other. I mean, Jim Leland is a much older gentleman. If Barry wanted to pick Jim Leland up and body slam him, he certainly could have. But Jim Leland was giving him whatever the business was about him and his attitude at that point. And Barry, although he had some things to say back, there was a certain line he was not going to cross when it came to that.
Yeah, well, Barry wanted to tackle Jim Leland, but he couldn't pass through all of the cigarette smoke that Leland was blowing in his face, and Bonds was choking on
him. But he was right there in his face, though.
All right, let's check a little traffic here before we get to the top of the hour.
From the 97.3 The Fan Traffic Center, here's Kelly Danick.
Traffic is sponsored by Valvoline. Instant drive-thru oil change. Your trusted instant drive-thru oil change. Crash involving a motorcycle has cleared up on Southbound 5 right before Garnett. Further south on the 5 right before E Street. Two-car collision over to the right shoulder. Stalled car on the Coronado Bridge heading over to the island just past the 5. It's got the left lane blocked. Eastbound King Freeway near the 125. There is a collision. Looks like a couple vehicles. It's been moved into the center divide. Cordell and Cordell traffic cam shows a crash on the westbound King Freeway right before Spring Street. That's now over to the right shoulder. Stop by any of the 30 San Diego Valvoline Instant Oil Change Centers. You don't have to get out of your car, and it usually only takes 15 minutes or less. Plus, get a free courtesy check of your tires and battery. Visit SoCalOilChange.com for directions and discounts. SoCalOilChange.com. I'm Kelly Danick with Gwen and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
All right, we've got another hour after this one here on Gwen and Chris. We will get to our thoughts on the NFL schedule in the 4 o'clock hour. But we will have Chris versus the Fans before that. So if you want to play some trivia, 833-288-0973 will give you a chance to play some trivia, have some fun with that. We also have a big five ahead. Then at 5 o'clock, don't forget, it's the roundtable. 1 hour commercial-free of all of us talking Padres baseball. And if you can think of an angle having to do with the Padres right now, we hit on it. So, Padre fans, if you didn't hear it this morning, make sure you tune in between 5 and 6 tonight. You'll get a lot of thoughts on a lot of stuff Tony and I have been touching on throughout this show.
If you love Mediterranean food, try Spiro's for authentic Mediterranean cuisine in Coronado or La Jolla. For dining or takeout options, visit spiroscuisine.com. In the next couple weeks, maybe even next week, Chris and I are going to be telling you about something special.
Next Friday.
Yeah, that's right.
So, yes, in the that would qualify for in the next couple of weeks. Very good, Scrabe. All right. Break time. Gwen and Chris, back in a moment.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.